Got your Bible, go to Matthew chapter 9. Find Matthew chapter 9. Find verse 35 near the end of the chapter. Matthew chapter 5 and verse chapter 9, verse 35. And stand with me, please, out of respect for the Word of God, if you're at all able. I have allergies, not corona. The Bible says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Let's pray. Father, we love you this evening. God, I'm thankful for the church. I'm thankful for old time religion. I'm thankful for people that love God and love to worship and love to be in church and are obedient to the scriptures. And God, that have not forsaken the assembling of themselves together as the manner of most of the government people that are scared to death are. I'm so glad there's a place that's open. I'm so glad there's a place that's having church. Father, I just pray you'll help me to say what needs to be said. God, please, hide me behind the cross of Christ. I yield myself to you, Holy Ghost of God. I need unction from on high. God, I need you to set angels around my mind and angels on my tongue and teeth and lips. And Father, I pray you'll help me to think and then speak precisely what you'd have me to say tonight. God, please, encourage your people in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat. I talked about getting a 2020 our 2020 spiritual vision or 2020 spiritual focus back on Jesus and on His passion for you and I. I said this morning, He loves us. Can I say again tonight? He loves you. He loves you more than I can express. He loves you more than I even can imagine. He loves you more than I even know how to tell you. But can I tell you this evening? He loves you. And when we read that verse this morning out of Acts chapter 1, where the Bible said, "To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion." And I said that a passion, the word, the definition is an intense emotion that compels action. It's any powerful or compelling feeling or emotion. It's that strong, amorous feeling and desire that it can be love and it can be hate, but it's a intense emotion that compels action. And as I read it, compassion is different in the fact that compassion is having their hurt in your heart. The definition from Mr. Noah Webster, he said that it's a feeling or deep sympathy and sorrow for another who is stricken by misfortune, accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate or to help in that suffering. So passion is an intense emotion that compels action, and compassion is the result of passion. Compassion is a result of godly passion. Compassion says, I've got this love in my heart and I'm compelled to do something. I see your situation and I feel your pain. I want to help. I believe we need to get a 2020 vision, our spiritual vision focused back on Jesus. I told you, I just this year, for the first year, that number just flashed in my mind. 2020. My son working for an eye doctor. I just, all these things came together in one moment of time as I was praying in my office at the house, and as I thought about. And I said this morning that Jesus' passion was seen and experienced in and by his drive and his determination and all the different things I said this morning. But can I say this morning, not only did Jesus live with passion, but may I say Jesus labored with passion. He labored with passion. May I say Jesus was tireless in his passionate efforts. He was tireless in his passionate efforts. You're there in Matthew chapter 9. The Bible says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." May I say several things about this? May I say this evening, I believe that he was motivated to reach everyone he could. He was motivated to resolve every problem he could. And he was motivated to redeem every person he could. But I draw your attention to several of the words, and you just have to bear with me for just a few moments. I said, I believe that he labored with passion, that he was tireless in his passionate effort. So what are you talking about, preacher? Tireless. The Bible says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages. He went about all the cities and villages. In other words, he traveled all around. Can I say, I traveled here this morning. It took an hour, and they sidetracked me and turned me off, and it turned me around. I went the back way to the church because you got half of the roads blocked off from here to East Jibip, and I'm just driving around, and thank God for GPS. Without a GPS this morning, I'd have ended up, I don't know. I might have ended up in Michigan. I don't know where it was bad. I'm just turning. I'm making turns. I said, okay, Lord, GPS, I hope you know where you go, because I don't. It said, turn here, stupid. I said, okay. And I took all the back roads in. I got here, praise the Lord, for GPS. But I drove here. I wasn't tired when I got out of the car. I've been drinking coffee. Tim Hortons, hallelujah. Y'all ain't got a Tim Hortons around here. You need to get one. You need to pray you in one. I got one 1.2 miles from my house. I take my walk in the morning down the main road. I got to duck traffic because there are people crazy. But I can walk to the Tim Hortons. So if gas ever gets scarce, I'll walk. But listen, I drove here. But when the Bible says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, he put foot to pavement or to sand and dirt and rocks. He put sandal to sand, hence the term sandal, and walked and walked and walked and walked and walked. And he traveled. The Bible says he went about all the cities and villages. He went from this city to that town, to that area, to that area, to that area, to that area. And he walked everywhere. Can I tell you something? Traveling is a wonderful thing. I remember when I first got into evangelism, I thought, man, bless God, I'm going to tell everybody what I think, and I'm just going to let them have it. And it was a wonderful thing. I tell everybody goes, what are you doing, Brother Lou? I said, man, I'm an evangelist. I travel around the country. And it was exciting. Like, wow. Can I tell you something? I still enjoy doing what I'm doing. I still enjoy telling people about Jesus and going from place to place and church to church and country to country and telling them about Jesus and starting churches and watching people get saved and seeing them grow. I enjoy that. I miss being a pastor. I miss those things. But man, I enjoy traveling. Man, but I remember that first year or two. It was just like, man, it was like, whoa, I got meetings. People want me to come. And I thought, does it? It's the excitement. You know, the excitement is like way up there. But you know, something happens after you put 50,000 miles on your car in a year. Your back hurts. Your bottom hurts. Your legs hurt. Your head hurts. Your neck hurts. But the first year or two, it's like, wow, man, I'm an evangelist. And it's all peaches and cream, you think. But after you do this 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 years or 2 or 3 or 4 months and you're just driving from place to place, spending a week knocking on doors, just going. But after a while, can I just tell you, it gets old. It gets tiring. Now I'm still excited about it. Don't get me wrong. I'm still excited about what God's called me to do. I enjoy what God's called me to do. I mean, and I get in the car and but I'm not at the place now where I go, wow, but I'm at the place now where I'm thinking, they still want me to come. Glory to God, they still let me come. And it's still exciting to me. But can I tell you something? It's a lot more painful now than it used to be 25 years ago. 25 years ago, get in the car, drive there, drive back, man, stay up all night long, wow. Now the pastor makes me talk in the afternoon, and I'm trying to think, look, why don't you go in the other room, and I'll just take a little nap right here. No, I'm just kidding, brother. I'm just kidding. I enjoy what I get to do. But can I tell you something? I understand what traveling. Anybody taking a long trip? Anybody? You take a long trip, and especially when you got your kids in a car, not only are you tired, you're tired of them. You know I'm telling you to do. Look, if you ain't got kids, you have no idea what I'm talking about. But if you put them in, I used to go from Tallahassee, Florida. I lived in Tallahassee, Florida. I used to drive to New Jersey in the summertime because it got so stinking hot in Tallahassee, Florida, it would melt the paint off the walls. So we would leave the air conditioner and a little fan running, leave the air conditioner up a little bit and leave the fan running, and we'd leave and we'd come where it was cool. And I'd visit, preach. I'm preaching from Maine. I'd preach in the New England states, and I stayed up north in the summertime. But that 1,000-mile trip to my mom and dad's house to drop the grandchildren off for a few days or for a few weeks. So, Mom, I'll be back to get them when I get ready to leave. No, don't leave them kids here all that time. I put them kids in the car and for the next 1,000 miles. And I would leave at 5 o'clock at night. I'd feed them dinner. And then about 3 hours into the trip, 4 hours into the trip, we'd stop, get gas, they'd go to the bathroom, do all they got to do. They already got their little jammies on, and I'd drive through the night as they slept because they were quiet. My wife would sleep in the front row. Matter of fact, she would sleep in the back with the kids. I had one of them old Toyota vans. She would sleep in the back, and they had all the seats laid down. We had beds. That was before the days of everybody was all night. Whoa! My son would come sit in the front. The littlest guy would come sit in the front because he said, "Dad, I ain't tired." All right, but come up here and we'll talk. And I was playing the Cathedrals and some other Christian tapes. And I was listening to some preaching tapes. I had Jack Hiles in there. I mean, he's just ripping and tearing. I got some of his sermons. My kids got some of his sermons memorized. But I can remember driving all night long, 13 hours, drive all night long and get there like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning and almost fall out of the car because you're like, everything is asleep. Even though you stopped every 5 or 6 hours when you need, 4 or 5 hours when you needed gas. But can I tell you something? One trip is like, my wife would go, "Oh, this is terrible." I do this every week. I mean, I do this every stinking week. I was on the road last year, 48 weeks. Can I tell you something? It's not, "Whoa, I'm advancing, I'm looking to travel." It's like, "Oh, let's get in the car." Now I'm still excited. Praise the Lord, I get to go. But it's not, "Man, I just can't wait. I get to be an advancing." No, it's like, "Lord, I'm going to do what you want me to do. Don't make it hurt so much." I'm still excited. I'm still thankful for what I get to do. But I understand when the Bible says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, he walked everywhere. He was wore out. Can I tell you something? He was tireless in his passionate effort. He went about all the cities and villages. What was he doing? Teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among them. Among the people. They had him from sun up to way past sundown. He was preaching and teaching and helping. That's why I said he was motivated to reach everyone he could. He was motivated to resolve every problem he could. He was motivated to redeem every person he could. He was busy. He went about all the cities and villages. But can I tell you something? It was a tireless effort. He was tireless in his passionate efforts. He was tired. I guarantee you he was tired. I guarantee you that there were nights he laid his head on his pillow. He laid his head on that rock. That's another thing. Everywhere I go, I carry my own pillow. No. But I got two on my bed. I like what Mike Lindell said when he had his shot. He said, "We ought to get back to reading our Bible. We ought to try to draw close to God." Basically, he was saying, "You ought to just trust God. It was going to be okay." And I went, "Amen. I think I'll buy another pillow." I support anybody that isn't afraid when he gets his shot on national TV. to stand up for Jesus. Amen. I like it. Anyway, but I carry my pillow with me. Jesus' pillow was a rock. You ever try to sleep on a rock? Man, I haven't. I don't go camping for that very reason. I ain't sleeping on the ground. You say, well, I've got a comfy sleeping bag. Ain't no such stinking thing. You're still on the ground. My idea of camping is the Holiday Inn. Hallelujah. Free breakfast. I ain't going to one without free breakfast. I ain't cooking nothing. I ain't cooking out in the weeds. Look, I'm a country boy, but I got no desire. I like to run in the woods and shoot stuff. But when I get done shooting stuff and dragging it to the house, I go to bed at the house. Jesus, listen, he went from place to place. They didn't have motels. There occasionally they might have had an inn. He didn't have any money to have for an inn. You know what he did? He slept outside. You think about what he did, his tireless effort. Not only was it a tireless effort in his traveling and his teaching and preaching, but in his very rest. He had to sleep on the ground. I think sometimes we read our Bible and we just read right over the fact that this was 2,000 years ago. And conditions were a whole lot different than they are now. You go to Burma. I've been to Burma several times. I'm tentatively still scheduled to go to Africa the end of June. I'll be back about 2 days before I'm back here in July, tentatively. I'll let you know. Unless there's a problem. But listen, I'm scheduled to go to Africa. And the pastor calls me. He goes, brother, it's very hot over here. I said, how hot is it? He goes, 38 degrees. I'm like, that's cold. He goes, centigrade. Oh, no, that's warm. I don't know exactly what that is, but I looked it up, and it's somewhere in the upper 80s, low 90s. I'm going, woo, that get exciting. He goes, are you going to be okay? I said, do you have water over there? He says, yes. We have bottled water from America. I said, good. Buy a lot of it. I said, because what I don't drink, I'll pour on me, and we'll just keep going. I said, I'm a big boy. I said, I'm a farm boy. He goes, very hot. I said, I go in and out of Burma. I said, it's very hot. He goes, Burma, woo, very hot over there. I said, yeah, it was 120 degrees in the shade over there. And that was in a place, and I was in the wintertime. And it was 120 degrees, and I'm going, God ain't in this. But I went. I drank about 4 liters of water a day. They got bottles of something water of liters. And I used to carry three of them with me and one in my hand when I left the motel. I drank 4 liters of water a day. But I kept going. They didn't have just running water. They had to hope they'd come by water. Do you understand traveling, what he went through? But he was motivated. Why? Because of a tireless, passionate effort. Jesus was tireless in his passionate efforts, motivated to reach everyone he could, motivated to resolve every problem he could, motivated to redeem everyone. Look at verse 36. The Bible says, but when he saw the multitudes, I'm sure glad he saw the multitudes. I'm sure glad he didn't see all the people going, ah. Talk to the hand. I got no time for this. The Bible says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. I wrote a bunch of stuff on top of all these verses. I said there was traveling, there was teaching, there was telling, there was treating every sickness and every disease. And here there was turmoil in the master's soul. Turmoil. What do you mean turmoil? When he saw the multitudes, he was moved. It literally means to be pushed out of yourself to go do something. He was moved with compassion. His desire, he saw their hurt and all their need, and it literally drug him in to do something. He was moved with compassion on the multitudes. Why? Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. About every month, I get a telephone call. Brother D, can you come help us? Our pastor left. Would you come candidate for our church? I know, but I'll come help you. I got a call last week, 2 days ago. Sunday, Friday. I got a call 2 days ago. Interested in, are you interested yet in candidating for our church? I said, no, why? Where'd your pastor go? He left. What? You all still support me, right? Just checking. And I said, where'd he go? Took a church in Florida. Oh, wow. I said, I can understand that. Doesn't want, he wants to get out of Ohio. I said, they said, maybe you're supposed to candidate. The guy said, maybe you're supposed to candidate for this church. You should have candidated for it 3 years ago when he candidated for it. I said, no. He said, maybe you're supposed to candidate for it now. He said, would you pray about it? I said, no. He said, you're not going to pray about it? I said, no. God's called me to do something. I'm just going to go do it. If he wants me to do it, it'll all work out. But until then, I'm not even tempting. I'm not going to tempt my... I know. I ain't even thinking about it. He goes, preacher, come on, you got to... I said, thank you. Have a good day. Don't go there. And so we talked. But can I tell you something? When I hung up the phone with him, the church is a good church. They're good people. They've been supporting me a few years longer than you have. They're good people. I preached their one of their first missions conferences they ever had there. And we had 37 people called to preach after I got done preaching. Several of them in the ministry. Several of them I preached for. Some of them just kind of blew out. But I remember that night. And they're still talking about that. Remember that time when you preached and preached a mission conference? Remember all the people that got it? I said, yeah. I said, God did something unbelievable. I didn't do nothing. All I did was preach His Word. I said, God did it. But I think about all the people that are there, and I'm thinking, man, they're good people. And I got off, when he got off the phone with me, this guy's an old man. Every time he sees me, he says, hey, let's do breakfast. He just got out of intensive care, and he says, hey, when are we going to do breakfast? I said, as soon as the coronavirus scare is over. I said, and everybody opens up a restaurant so we can go buy something to eat. The Bible says Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw the multitudes. He didn't just look at them. He knew what they were thinking. He knew how they felt as sheep having no shepherd. No leader. What do we do now? I got churches call me all the time. I just had a church call me in New Jersey. I can't even get into New Jersey right now without having to sneak in. I got two state troopers that are my friends. I have to call them to get in because they don't want anybody from any other state coming to New Jersey right now. And I don't blame them because it's New Jersey. But a church called me and they said, preacher, somebody gave me your phone number and said I ought to call you. And he gave me his name. His name is Mike. And he said, preacher, he said, our pastor left a year ago and I can't get anybody to help us. And they said, you might help us. And I was scheduled to be there today, this Sunday and next Sunday. And New Jersey has, you know, locked itself down and told the churches, you're not allowed to have more than five people meet at one time in one place. And I want to go there and rally all the churches and just say, we're not going to do this. But when this guy called me, he said, I don't know what to do. He said, our church doesn't have any money. He said, our building's paid for, and their building is gorgeous. It seats about 200 people, and they have six people left. Because the charlatan that was the pastor ran it down to nothing. And after all the money was gone, he left. He wasn't like you. He was just a deadhead. I don't know. I'm going to get mad, and I don't want to. But I can see, listen, I could hear the brokenness in this man's voice. And he said, I said, who's doing the preaching? He says, I am. I'm not a preacher. I don't even talk too good. He said, but there's nobody to do it. And I got off the phone with him, and I was just brokenhearted. And I told him, look, I'll come help you. I had to call him. I said, look, I can't help you. I can't even get in New Jersey. He goes, I know. I don't even know if the church is going to be able to stay around. I hope they didn't become another parking lot or another doctor's office or another dentist office like dozens of Bible-believing churches are now in New Jersey. One of the most densely populated states in the country, and have the fewest churches. And if my heart's broken, I can read this verse, and can I say, the Bible says, but he was moved with compassion. It says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Can I say, not only was he motivated, but he was moved with compassion to rescue the multitudes, to revive the multitudes, to round up and to rout the multitudes. He saw the multitudes. He said, somebody's got to do something. And then he said this in verse 37. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. So here's what we need to do. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth the laborers into the harvest. And this is where I get help. He said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. Jesus said, I'm here, but I'm one person. I know I'm God. I'm God in the flesh, but I'm one person in one place. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers, lots of people. Us. You see, my friends, he was motivated to reach, resolve, and remedy. He was moved with compassion to rescue, revive, round up, and rout the multitudes. But verses 37 and 38, he was meaningful. Listen, he was meaningful in his regarding their needs. He says, the labor, he says, harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers into the harvest. He was meaningful in his regarding their needs. He was meaningful in his requesting of prayer. And he was meaningful in his requisition for laborers, for help. Hey, all of us, he said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers. May I say, Jesus labored with passion. He was tireless in his passionate efforts. May I say, take your Bible, go to Matthew chapter 14. May I say, he was tender in his passionate execution. He was tender in his passionate execution. Look at verse, Matthew 14, look at verse 13. Matthew 14 and verse 13, the Bible says, when Jesus heard it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And they say, preacher, what's taking place? In the first several verses of this chapter, this is about the death of John the Baptist, the beheading of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist's disciples come to Jesus and said, they've killed him, they've cut off his head. And the Bible says, that's where we come in verse 12. The Bible says, and his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother, verse 11. Verse 12 says, and his disciples, as John the Baptist's disciples, and his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by a ship into a desert place apart. The Bible says, and when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. May I say, not only did Jesus labored with passion, not only was he tireless in his passionate efforts, but may I say, he was tender in his passionate execution. John the Baptist is dead. John the Baptist was his forerunner. John the Baptist announced his arrival. And here Jesus listens to the people, listens to the report. And I wrote these things down. I believe Jesus was moved with compassion for the fallen. I believe Jesus was moved with compassion. The Bible says, and when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. He had to get alone. Jesus wanted to. Jesus, all this was going on. All this hit him all at one time. Listen, his friend was gone. I've had friends that I've been to their deathbed. I've had friends that have passed away. I remember sitting in my office in February of 2001 when I got the call, pray for Brother Howells. He's under the knife. Things aren't going well. I remember I got the call from a friend, and Dave Scholing called me. And Dave Scholing said, Louie's gone. I said, no, he's not. He goes, preacher's gone. He's gone. And I remember that just a load, just a, seemed like a weight. I'm going, what are we going to do without him? What are we going to do without him? And I'll be honest with you. I'll be honest with you. I sat in my office and I said, God, what? Now what? What do we do without the old man? And God said, I've got him. And I'll take care of you like I took care of him. Now get up and go do something. Jesus was moved with compassion for the fallen. May I say, Jesus was moved with compassion for the following. The Bible says he departed into a desert place apart. And the Bible says when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. When they heard that John had been killed, John the Baptist, who everybody was following, many people followed John the Baptist, and they heard that Jesus departed and was over there. The Bible says they came to Jesus out of all the cities. May I say this? I believe not only was Jesus moved with compassion for the fallen, but he was moved with compassion for the following. And I'll add to this, the Bible says in verse 14, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. All of these folks that listen, they packed up, they said, John the Baptist is gone, our leader's gone. John told us about him. We got to follow him wherever. They packed up everything in every condition. The Bible says out of all the cities, and they followed Jesus. They had sick and lame and tore up people. And the Bible says when he saw what was taking place, I'm sure glad my God sees. I'm sure glad he's paying attention. I'm sure glad he's nothing like I am. I'm sure glad he sees when he saw the multitude. The Bible says he was moved with compassion on them. And he healed their sick. You know what he did? Listen, let me say something. And I'll try not to get too close. I don't want to make him. But can I tell you something? When the Bible says he healed their sick among them, this was not a quick fix. I believe he went person to person. Everybody that was struggling. This took a little time. My Savior was willing to invest his time because he saw what was going on. And these people had packed up and they had nobody. They had John the Baptist. Now he's gone. But John told them about him. Now they got him. And he sees all the problems. And listen, I don't know how many people, I'm going to show you in a minute, there was thousands of them. Thousands of them. I don't know how many sick they had. But I don't believe Jesus went, you're healed. I believe he went to this sick person, then that sick person, then that sick. I believe he went person to person to person. Now you say, preacher, you can't prove that. Well, you can't disprove it. My God is a personal God and a personal Savior. He cares about me and he cares about you. Amen. He's nothing like me. thank God. I'm trying to be like him. May I say, he was moved with compassion on the feverish. Moved with compassion on the feverish. Look at verse 15. Look at verse 15. The Bible says, and when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. And they said unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. I got 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, bring them hither to me. Everything changes when the Savior touches stuff. Everything. Bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to the disciples and the disciples to the multitudes. And they did all eat and were filled and took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. Notice, and they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. Excuse me. I have 2. This one goes in the back pocket, never to be seen. This one wipes the sweat. That one wipes the nose. Amen. Listen. 5,000 men besides women and children. So I wrote this down about Jesus was tender in his passionate execution. I said he was moved with compassion for the fallen, moved with compassion for the following, moved with compassion for the feverish. May I say this? I believe he was moved with compassion to feed them all. He was moved with compassion to feed them. Anybody Italian? Anybody Mediterranean? You have no idea. Let me just, and I don't think Italians are better than everybody else. We just think we are. But they do. I don't. I don't think I'm better than anybody. Matter of fact, I'm not as good as most. But when I was a boy growing up, when you went to grandma's house, it didn't matter if it was 5 minutes after lunch and you just left your mom's house across the street and you went to grandma's house. Oh, Uvigo, you hungry? Uvigo means, oh, my little baby. It's Sicilian. I grew up in an Italian-Sicilian home, 100%, right to the bone. You go to grandma's house, grandma starts putting out food. I mean, she just takes everything that's in the refrigerator and puts it out on the table. I mean, everything she's got. Here, you got to eat. I said, grandma, I just got done eating. Oh, you look hungry. Come on, you got to eat. I got it all out now. And that's why when I, you know, till last year, I was 100 pounds, 58, 50, 60, 70, 80. I'm still overweight, but I'm 55 pounds less than I used to be. But when I was, man, I was at highest, I was 275. I go to grandma's house. Oh, grandma, you hungry? Oh, yeah, I am now. You got it all on the table. Let's eat. And I see my Savior a lot like my grandmother. He saw all those people. He said, and his disciples said, hey, send them away. Let them go buy victual. He says, you feed them. Nation, here's what they did. They come, what are we going to do with all of them and this? He said, you give them to me. And you go make them sit down. Lord, I need you to bless this. And I believe, listen, the Bible says he gave it to his disciples, and he made his disciples go feed them people. And after it was all said and done, the little kid that brought the lunch, he said, oh, I got 12 baskets full of food. You take these home with you. You say, prove that. Disprove it. But I know this, My God blesses when we do what's right to do. My God blesses in unbelievable ways when we do what is right to do. And He'll bless you when you do right. He'll bless you when you give of what you give of your meager. God says, "Watch this," and He can do the unbelievable with almost nothing. Matter of fact, He can do the unbelievable with nothing. He spoke all of this into existence. Don't tell me He can't do something with nothing. But let me just say, He told them, He said, "You feed them. Lord, we don't have anything." My God was moved with compassion to feed them all. My grandmother never had a grandchild walk in the house. I miss her. Ain't like that no more. I got no grandma. I got no grandmother to walk in the house. And I hug grandma and give her a kiss on her cheek. "Louis, you hungry?" "No, but I could eat something." But now I'm grandpa. And my grandkids come over. "Hey." Now my wife is a white girl. I'm an Italian boy. I'm olive skin. By the way, my wife said to say hi to you, and she said to say hi to your wife, not you. My wife just, she loves your wives. You wives. Your wives. She loves you. Anyway, you kind of catch the drift. But my wife, she'll do the same. She goes, "Grandkids will come over. Have you guys eaten yet?" I went. I just sit back and I go, sounds like my grandma. My Savior. The more I think about it, the more my grandma was like my Savior. Now, my grandma was saved. But my grandma was worried about feeding everybody. Nobody left her house hungry. Nobody. If you and you showed up, she breaks up out of it. "Hey, you hungry?" "No." "Oh, you're going to eat something because I got it out on the table now." Even if she would say this, "I'm fixing to take it out." "You're going to eat it." Not, "You're going to eat it, please," or "You're going to eat it, right?" She goes, I'm fixing to take stuff out. "You're going to eat it." She didn't say fixing. She said, "I'm taking stuff out. Get ready." And I mean it. Here's what my God said. "I see their need. They're starving. They're hungry. They've been with me all day. Nobody brought food. They just grabbed whatever they could out of the house. They've been following us. Feed them." They said, "We don't have anything." He said, "Bring it here. I'll take care of it." Mm-hmm. Can I tell you something? Do you think if your God is worried about, if He's moved with compassion to feed the multitude, do you think He's not moved with compassion to take care of you? Do you think He can't meet your needs? I'll be honest with you. I've had all these meetings cancel and cancel and cancel and cancel. Church is going, "Preacher, our state, we're not allowed to." I said, and I don't want to go there again because I'll make myself mad. I want to finish my sermon. And I've got the longest drive home, I think. I got an hour and 50-minute drive home. Can anybody beat that? If not, just, I'm going to pack my books up when I get done. I'm going to be out of here. You know, I'm going to be like Jack Patterson. Jack Patterson used to come in. He told the preacher, "Preacher said, you going to spend the night?" He goes, "Nope, I'm going to come in, I'm going to preach, I'm going to grab the loot and scoot." He made several of my friends mad when he said that. I ain't having him back no more. I said, "Brother, you got to understand, this old man is nuts. Just leave him alone. That's a Lester Roloff thing. I'm just going to grab the loot and scoot." Jesus saw all those people, and He said, "We're going to feed them." He's concerned about your needs. I'm so glad He's concerned. I told my wife says, "Honey, what are we going to do? How are we going to pay the mortgage? How are we going to pay the car payment? How are we going to do these things?" I said, "I have no idea." I said, "I don't know." I said, but I do know one thing. I do know that my God and your God is paying attention. And this was not an accident. He didn't go, "Oops. Didn't know that was going to happen." Bible says He knows the beginning from the end. He knows what I'm going through. He knows what you're going through too. Say, "Preacher, how are we going to make it?" I don't know. But I know who holds tomorrow. And I know who holds my hand. It's going to be okay. So what's going to happen if the economy collapses? All my debt will go away. I'm kind of hoping it does. No, I'm not hoping it does. Listen, my God just, but He, listen, He's concerned about every person in here. Don't ever let anybody tell you differently. Don't let them tell you, well, God doesn't care. That's the devil's stinking lie. God cares about you. Look at verse 22 and 23, and I'm trying to find a landing spot. I got three more points. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. May I say, Jesus was tender in his passionate execution. He was moved with compassion for the fallen, as we see in verses 13 and 14. Moved with compassion for the following and the feverish. Moved with compassion, verses 15 through 21, to feed them all. But can I say, he was moved with compassion on his faithful disciples. Verse 22 says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples, get into the ship and go before him unto the other side, while he sent them all. He said, look, I'll send the multitudes away. You just get on the ship and go get ready. I'll be there in a few minutes. Now, how are you going to get here? We're taking the boat. No, I don't see anybody asking them that question. They didn't care nothing about the master. They didn't care nothing about him. Okay, we're out of here. They're taking the ride. They're taking the boat. Hey, he wants us to go. Let's go. Before he changes his mind, makes us work some more. No, he had compassion on his faithful disciples. He said, look, I'll send the multitudes away. You just go. I know you're tired. I know you've had a long day. I've worked you. Just go home. I'm so glad he's compassionate on those of us that are trying to serve him full time, trying to do something. And he feels our discouragement. He senses what's going on. He says, look, just go take a break, get in a ship, and go. I'll meet you on the other side. Hallelujah. I'm so glad he cares about me when I'm serving. He understands. I'm glad he cares. Listen, I'm done with this point. Listen to me. Verse 23 says, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. May I say, not only was he moved with compassion for the fallen and the following and the feverish and to feed everybody and for his faithful disciples, but may I say this, he was moved with compassion to go talk with his Father alone. You know what you and I need to do? Sometimes we just need to go get alone with God. We just need to go get alone and talk to the Master. And say, God, do you understand? Do you see what's going on? I know you do. Lord, do you even care? The Bible says you care. I'm going to say something. Please don't take this the wrong way. Jesus being in human form, he's still 100% God, but he's 100% man. He needed to go spend some time with God, with the Heavenly Father, with his Father. He needed to go. If he needs to spend time as the God-man, don't you think you and I, as God's people, with Jesus in our, with the Holy Ghost of God in our heart, don't you think that you and I need to spend time with him alone? You do. May I say, he was moved with compassion. Did everything. He said, then, and at the very last, you see the very last act, he says, and the Bible says he went and he prayed to the Father and got alone with the, he was with the Father alone. You know the problem with Christianity today? You know the problem with church members today? Oh, I got to go to the pastor. I need this. Before you come whining and crying and boo-hooing to the pastor, he doesn't have all the answers. I don't want to break it to you. Some of you are new Christians in here. He does not have all the answers. He's not even sure of all the questions yet. I'm in the same boat. You're in the same boat. We don't have the answers. But I know who does. Before you come crying to the pastor, listen, you better fall on your face and come to your master. This is man. We're just men. He's the mighty God. We're nothing. He's everything. I don't know all the questions. He's got all the answers. I don't know what's coming the next minute. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows everything and what's ahead. And he's compassionate. He said, as I got alone with my Heavenly Father, you should too. You see, my friends, he's compassionate. And Jesus was tender in his passionate execution. I've got other points, but I'm going to quit. My question to you is this. What are you going to do? Are you going to be like the Master and live with passion? You see, Jesus not only lived with passion, and his passion was seen and experienced in the way he conducted business, in his drive and determination, and in his display and delight and destination. But can I say this? He labored with passion, tirelessly and tenderly. May I say this evening? Will you be like Jesus and with passion in your heart, tirelessly and tenderly, have some effort and some execution for Him? He loves you tonight. And it's all going to be okay, but you and I must simply trust Him, talk with Him, stay close to Him, and follow Him wherever He goes. It's going to be okay. Everybody's in a panic. The world is fixing to shut down. Can I tell you something? God hasn't lost one second's worth of sleep. It's going to be okay. So why? Listen, stop troubling yourselves about what if. What if? What if I drive home and die? Well, what if? Hey, fat boy out. I'll be in heaven. See you later. Look, I'm not afraid to die. I'm not in a hurry. I'm not going to jump in front of a bus. Almost on the way here, one train passed on one set of tracks down here. The thing went halfway up and started coming down. Oh, my car. I'm going, woo, and I scooted around. There was another train coming the opposite direction. And I'm going, phew. You know what I was thankful about? I was thankful that it didn't come down on my brand new car. So weren't you worried about being hit? No, don't hit my car. Stupid. You know something? We're worried about trivial things. Do you understand? God's got you in the palm of His hand. My Bible says that His right hand spans the heavens. It's awful big. And once you're in it, you can't get out of it. And He's never lost anybody. He knows right where you are, and it's going to be okay. But listen, we've got to get our eyes focused back on His passion. The way He lived, how He lived, why He lived, what He did, and why He did it. Get your 2020 spiritual vision back tonight. Heavenly Father, would You please...